Hello, Les Slipperty. You are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. I'm Christiane, and I am back with another interview in the Passionately Vocal series. I have Steve Walmsley on the phone with me today, and he is the principal of Tigard's Valley from my hometown in Mill Creek, West Virginia. How was your day today?
It was pretty busy, Christiane. How was your day?
Oh, it was quite lovely, actually. I've been very busy, but it's been snowing down here. Has it been snowing with you guys?
It's not been snowing down here. It seems like as you're heading north, when you get to Buckhannon and above into Morgantown and your areas, that you guys must have got hit with most of the snow. We had a two-hour delay yesterday, but we were on school on time today.
Oh, that's nice. How was you busy today?
Well, once or twice a week, I run an in-school suspension, and it allows teachers to dump out some kids who are having some issues in their class. And that often, I have about six or seven kids who've done something that warrants in-school suspension, and I would rather use that instead of out of school because the kids are able to stay here in the building. They're counted present. They get to keep their work up to date. I hate throwing kids out of school unless they've done something very drastic.
Oh, that makes sense. So how long have you been teaching, like not just the principal, just in the education system in general?
I'm actually retiring this year, so I'm excited for July 1st to get here. But this is my 43rd year of public education. I was a teacher and a coach for 23 years, and I've been a principal for 20. And I really enjoy my job, but I'll be 65 in May, and it's time to find other things to occupy my time.
So how did you get into being a coach and then transferring into being a principal?
I played three sports in high school and went on to play two sports in college. And I really like coaching, and I thought if I couldn't go any further in my athletic career that I would turn around and coach. So I did that. And at the later end of my career of coaching, I had a couple children, and I was teaching and felt like I had enough of coaching and wanted to get into the high school where my kids were going to graduate from. So I went back and got my master's degree in administration, and the job came open, and I got it, and I've been here. This is my 19th year, actually, at Tigard's Valley High School. So trying to get in, initially it was because of athletics, and then because of my children, I wanted to be the principal and make sure they had a good school to go to, make sure there was plenty of dual-credit classes, so I knew they would go on to college. And we now have enough dual-credit classes at Tigard's Valley that you can almost get through your freshman year by the time you leave. So I think I'm leaving it in a better place than I found it. And I still found it in a pretty good place. The last principal did a nice job. So it's a nice little hometown school, and I hope you speak highly of it as well.
So did you only have ever worked at Tigard's Valley, or have you worked at other schools?
Yeah, I've been when the first job I got, I was a teacher at Colton Elementary School, which is on one side of Randolph County, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And on Thursdays and Fridays, I was a teacher at Valley Head Elementary. From a couple years of that, it evolved into 3 years at Colton Elementary, the Homestead Elementary, for a couple years. And then I ended up teaching at Tigard's Valley. And I have been here as a teacher or a principal probably, I'm going to say, for the last 30 years. I was a head coach at Elkins High School, boys coach, for 16 years after coaching here at Tigard's Valley for four, but I stayed teaching at Tigard's Valley because this is home and this is the job I eventually wanted to have, and everything's worked out very well. I've enjoyed myself throughout my career. Right now I'm also vice president of the board of directors with the WVSSAC, so I try to stay busy not just with school, but I try to keep my hand in athletics as much as I can.
Do you ever miss being a gym coach?
Yes, a phys ed teacher. If you go around to any of the physical education majors at West Lib, they're going to tell you they're not gym teachers. They're physical education teachers.
I see.
So be careful calling that a gym teacher.
Okay.
And I'm just joking with you. I'm just joking. But, yeah, when I was teaching PE was a great job. I taught PE and health, but, you know, I've always been a gym rat. I've always liked participating in athletics. So when you're a PE teacher, you get to play a lot of pickleball and ping pong and volleyball. And you know, to me, that's not working. I mean, that was just a fantastic situation. And then going from that during the day to coaching at night kept me completely involved in athletics. And I just really never felt like I've had a job. You know, when you enjoy what you're doing and you're getting paid for something you enjoy, I think that's probably the meaning of success.
How did you go from that to being the principal? Like, were you offered the position? Did you?
Well, I actually, at the time, Tigers Valley High School principal's job came open. Elkins High School's job came open as well, which is right down the road. Tigers Valley's a single A, as you know. Elkins High is a triple A. Both of those positions came open. So the Randolph County Board of Education allowed as many of us that wanted to apply for either of those jobs or both of them. And we had a board, a panel of about 12 people spread out from the community in the board office and people from both schools, usually faculty members. And we had to interview in front of like a dozen people. And before the interview started, we would tell them, you know, hey, I'm interviewing for both jobs, or I'm interviewing for Elkins High, or I'm interviewing for Tigers Valley. I, at the time, only interviewed for Tigers Valley. There were, and I came in second in the interview process. The person who came in front of me said that he would take either one of those positions, and when given the choice, since he had the highest number in the interview, then he was available to take either position, and he chose Elkins High School, which left me at Tigers Valley. And the other 10, you know, continued on and got jobs elsewhere.
Are you originally from Mill Creek, or is that just where you ended up in life?
I was born and raised in Valley Bend. So I have, it went, until I went to college, and I went to Davis and Elkins College, which was, you know, right down the road in Elkins. I've lived in Randolph County my whole life. When I graduated from Tigers Valley, you know, I went to D&E, of course, lived on campus, and I had a fantastic time those 4 years, played two sports while I was there, and still was able to graduate with a degree in teaching, and has just had a fantastic time. So I was very fortunate. I love to travel. I love to go all over the world. My wife and I go everywhere. We try to travel two or three times a year. I love warm weather, so that's a bad thing about living in West Virginia. You know, unless you like to watch the seasons change, it's a hard place to stay if you're addicted to warm weather. And I love the beach. I love playing golf. But I used to love skiing and had a good time on the slopes. But at 65, you tend to stay away from stuff that make you fall. So, you know, I would really rather be somewhere warm. My wife and I, we try to go in the wintertime. We try to take a week during the winter and fly down to Florida early in the winter and late in the winter. And then springtime is finally coming around by that time. But, yes, I've always lived in Valley Bend except for the 4 years I lived on campus.
I never knew that about you, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So Mill Creek is a very small town, and then Tigers Valley mm-hmm. is a very small school. Do you think, mm-hmm. what are the ups, like the pros and cons of having such a small school?
Well, and coaching at Elkins High, you know, they graduate around 200 kids. At Tigers Valley, we graduate around 60. So there's is quite a difference between the two. I really think it's a nicer atmosphere because everybody knows your business at a small school, and that can be good and bad. If you kind of like to blend in to the crowd, a bigger school is a better place for you because I think there's just less attention to detail, even though you might have some fantastic teachers and great opportunities. I just think that it depends on whether you want to people to know who you are, and you don't care about people knowing your business, because in a small school, people know who you are, they know your business. At a bigger school, you know, it's not quite that situation. Both of my children graduated from here. I graduated from here. My father and mother went to school here, and my grandmother was actually in the first graduating class in 1924. So, you know, my family has a lot of strong ties to the school. My brother is still here teaching and coaching. You know, to us, it's just been something that is part of our family that we're very protective and very proud of. But I think a larger school, even though it would have a lot of other benefits, just doesn't have the same feel as a small town school like this.
So you think that we have a better community, but not as strong of opportunities?
I don't know if it's a better community. It's just a different situation because there's obviously there's not as many opportunities here at our school as there are in bigger schools. And I think there's positives both places, but there's negatives both places as well. And I think a lot of how you're going to look at that is the type of personality you have and what your goals are and what makes you comfortable. You know, walking into a cafeteria where there's only a couple hundred people to eat, you know, people are creatures of habit. When you go somewhere and you sit down as a freshman, you're usually at that table and you eat there until you graduate. And when you go into a bigger school that might have 500 or 600 kids in a cafeteria, it's a lot easier for you to mix in and not draw as much attention to yourself. But I just think it's the individual's personality, what their perception of the area around them, what they're comfortable with, what they like to do. I think, you know, I really wouldn't say that one's better than the other. I think it's really up to the individual.
That makes sense. So what is your favorite and least favorite thing about being the principal down there?
Well, my favorite thing is I like to be around kids. I think we're here to protect them and educate them and show them that they have a nice, warm, friendly place to grow up. You know, I want kids to want to come here to school. I enjoy being around them. I don't feel like it's work. I like to talk to them. I like to know how their day is going. If a kid's in trouble, I like to know why he got in trouble and talk to him or her about, you know, what they could avoid and what they could do better. And you know, I am interested in them and want to take care of them. I also want to take care of our teachers and the staff, the people that work here. They also care very much about kids, and they work so hard to take care of them. It's just a very positive place for me. A negative is there's times that, especially on social media, you have people say some stuff that they really don't have the correct information. They really don't know everything they're talking about. They assume that a kid that comes home and tells them something is gospel, and there's not a second side to something. So I try to keep that communication open between me and the parents and the grandparents, as well as I do the kids, because once everybody's on the same page, the kid wins every time. When the parents at home, the grandparents, people that are raising them, are talking poorly about the teachers or vice versa, then the kids lose. You know, everybody's got to be on the same page, and the goal has to be to protect and educate those kids. So, you know, there's good and bad things about everything. For example, would not like to work on cars all day long, and I know there's some people that would love to do that, and they enjoy it, and it doesn't feel like work to them, and being in education does not feel like work to me.
Does it ever get stressful near the end of the year, or is it just sort of stays the same amount of, like, busy throughout the year?
No, it absolutely has different gears. The beginning of the year is stressful because you're trying to make sure kids are in the right classes. You're trying to make sure seniors are taking all the credits they need to graduate. You're trying to make sure you have the right staff. You know, there's a really huge drop in kids who are coming to public school right now, and there's a huge drop in people that are trying to get positions in school. So there's a lot of pressure in the beginning of the year. Once things get moving, it's pretty nice. Again, mid-year, the breaks are fantastic. We just had a week-long Thanksgiving break. We're getting ready to have 2 weeks off for Christmas and New Year's. So, and not having to work in the summertime is nice, too. But at the end of the year, right around March, April, you know that there's some big tests coming up. You want your kids to do well. You're trying to make sure they've got all the material covered that they need. And again, at a high school, you want to make sure these kids all graduate. That never happens. You know, at the beginning of the year, I always sit down with the entire senior class on the very first day, and I say, one of you is not going to graduate, at least one of you statistically, and it's almost like that every year. So as the year is going on towards the end of the year, you're stressed and trying to make sure you get as many of them out as possible. And our graduation rate is constantly around 94-95%. So we do a great job getting them out the door and preparing them for what's next. But there are so many kids who need shoved and pushed and drugged across that stage to get their diploma that it ends up being pretty stressful, you know, especially for senior teachers, you know, teachers that have something that are required, like civics or English or a last math class they have to pull in before they graduate. So it's stressful at that period of time, and it's stressful at the beginning, but the middle's not really too bad. You know, again, if you like it, the stress is usually something that you put on yourself.
Have you ever had a senior class where everyone graduated?
No, never. And this is, again, my 20th year as a principal, and I don't think I have ever had that happen. Last year we had a couple that didn't make it. I spoke to the entire high school lunch crowd today about, hey, you've got 3 weeks left until we're on break. The semester's about over, and if you guys don't kick it in the gear and you fail something and you're behind, you know, it's going to be really hard to catch up, and it might keep you from graduating. But I still have two or three seniors that act like rules do not apply to them, and they're not putting forth any effort. And you talk to them, you call their parents, you do everything you can to try to pull them across the finish line, but some of them eventually do not make it, and that happens every year.
Going back to how you got hired, do you happen to remember the questions that they asked you when they interviewed you? Because I'm just curious.
Well, you know, in the 20 years, I've hired quite a few people, too. So a lot of the questions are the same. You know, they ask you about your background. They ask, you know, the biggest thing they finish with in this county that I've seen is, you know, why do you want this job? And that's always an important question to me when I'm interviewing somebody. You know, I'll have somebody look at me and say, hey, I'm close to where that job is. It'll be more convenient for me. It'll be easier for me. That's why I want it. And I've had other people say, hey, look, I want to be there. I'll travel to be there. I love it there. I love the kids. You know, that's such a big question to finish off the interview process. But there, you can Google, of course, a list of questions anywhere, and a lot of them come in with pretty close to the same qualifications. They'll have different years of experience, which will count a little bit, but the people that come in that are most qualified and that you can see in their face and in their answers that they're confident and they really want that position, you know, those are the people you hire. So it's a lot more heart. I think, you know, you can tell people that have a lot of heart and really want to be there and want to be an educator. And there's people that just think, hey, that's a job, and that's, I'm doing this job till I find the next one. And so it's really, you can see, you know, are you looking at somebody face-to-face? Are you making good eye contact? You know, are you shaking someone's hand? Are you handing this a portfolio that we can look at and say, you know, there's enough portfolios for everybody? That's really nice. And they say, hey, look, I've got plenty of those. Take that home with you. You know, do everything you can to show confidence and caring. And the fact that you really want that position is really important when it comes to interviews.
When you interview someone, is it just you interviewing them, or is it multiple people?
No, we actually have an interview committee here. There are 11 teachers on the committee, plus myself and my assistant principal. So what we try to do is we try to keep curriculum people together. So if I'm interviewing a social studies teacher, a history teacher, then I try to make sure there's two or three history teachers, you know, on the committee. So when we pick that committee of 11 people, we always try to make sure there are different curriculum areas that makes it flexible whenever we hire someone. As far as hiring a coach, it's usually just me and the athletic director and maybe another coach that's in that sport as well. So So we try to make sure we're matching it up with the right people, we're asking the right questions, and, you know, if somebody's involved in that process, it makes it a lot easier because they're going to know more questions. But now you got to be very careful to make sure you ask the same questions to everybody. You can't ask a person, person A, 8 questions, and person B, 15 questions, and they have to be exactly the same ones. You have to take really good notes, and you have to show that you care too. But we have a group of 11 people who are on our hiring committee, and we try to pick 4 or 5 of them that fit the best qualifications for the position that's open.
Dang. How many interviews do you guys usually have, like, every month or every year or so?
Different schools are very different. Here at Taggart Valley, just a couple years ago, I think I had 8 teachers that didn't even live in Randolph County that drove here. And I always have 5 or 6 that drive from outside of our county to get here because it's a great area. The kids are very polite, and I try to take very good care of them. They know I have their back. They know that if something comes up and somebody needs to take care of them and make sure they'll stand up for them, they know I'm there. Now, I will take care of them as long as they are putting the student in students' needs in front of their own. You know, that's what I tell them. I said, if you're trying to do the right thing, I've got you. I said, if you're trying to do something for yourself, then you're on your own. You know, if you're going to think of yourself only and put yourself before the student, then you're going to have to explain why it's like that. So, you know, we seldom have open positions. When we do have one open, there's usually 3 or 4 people or more that apply for it. We're very lucky. You know, the teachers know they're lucky when they're here, so a lot of them like to come here. I seldom have openings. I can't remember, you know, a couple of years ago we had an opening, and I had one for a couple of years. So it's hard to get in this building.
So, you're going to retire very, very soon, and you said
yes,
you
ma'am.
Like warm places?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you planning to move out of West Virginia or to a warmer place when you retire, or are you still planning to stay here?
Well, my wife and I have talked about that. My daughter just graduated from WVU last year, and when she went there as a freshman, we bought a house in Morgantown, so we do own a house, and she's getting ready to move to another place. So we've discussed maybe moving to Morgantown, and every time we go to Florida, we're always looking at houses that, you know, maybe spend a few months in the winter there. And my wife works at a regional jail, so she's got a couple pretty cool degrees, so she's got some flexibility to be able to move around. So I'm really, Christiane, I'm not planning on moving, but I'm absolutely not opposed to it either.
Are you hoping?
I don't know. I have so many friends, you know, because I went to school here and I'm from here. I have just so many people here that I go to games with and have a lot of fun with and play poker with, and you know, I'm a very social person. I don't like to be by myself. I like to be, of course, being in public schools. It's been a great situation for me. But I like to be around people, but man, I really like warm weather. So it's going to be difficult. My wife's a few years younger than me, so she's got a while to go before she can retire. But we'll still take days and go places. And sometimes a couple, 2 or 3 weeks in the wintertime gets me through the winter, and all of a sudden it's spring, so it's not too bad. But I love living in West Virginia. The people here are just incredibly nice and as down to earth as you'll find anyone. So it's kind of a hard place to leave as well. But I am sick of snow.
Man, the snow is really, it's starting to pick up. It was like really high yesterday for us.
Yeah, my son works at Snowshoe and loves it. He absolutely loves it. He has a snowboard or skis on his feet, and when the weather changes, he's on a mountain bike, and he loves it to be up there. He loves the outdoors. Whenever the days get shorter, I kind of get a little, you know, upset and a little crankier than I am whenever it's warm out, because I love to get out and get in the sun. But and that basketball has really helped me, playing basketball, coaching basketball, just giving me something to keep me busy during the winter months really helped me out. But, you know, I'm going to have to look for, of course, another job. I just can't sit at home. So we'll see what my next employment opportunity is. That might keep me, you know, cheerful in the winter time.
I've been curious about this for, like, the longest time. How do you guys decide the schedule? Because that seems so complicated. Like, before each semester, how do you make all the classes at different times and stuff?
And that's a fantastic point, especially here, because I have staff members that have to do some high school and some middle school, some that do only middle school, some that do only high school, some who teach in dual credit classes, others that don't. So, you know, this is the first year in a very long time that I can ever remember the high school being periods. In the past, I think when you went through, we had periods in the middle school, then we had blocks in the high school. Then we went through a period of time where everybody had blocks, and the new superintendent came in, and he wants us all on periods. So going back and forth from one to the other is difficult, but as you have to sit down and look at your staff, and you have to make sure you have people that can cover the classes that they need, because there are certain credits they have to graduate. So you have to start with those, and then you try to be as flexible as possible with we have kids who love our VOAG department. It's a very big department here, so you can be a completer in a business program or a VOAG program or a home economics program, consumer science, family consumer science, and also, you know, go the other direction, have a lot of dual credit openings as well. So it is a very difficult thing, but we have been doing it in a very long time. We know to build a schedule here, you have to start with the middle school is really where you have to start. You have to make sure you've got that ready, and you have to. There are so many special education classes that have to fit certain ways. So those are the two areas you have to start with and build it from there up.
So when I was there, it was middle school had periods, high school had blocks. So both middle school and high school now have periods.
Yes, yes. He wanted us to be able to bank, the new superintendent wanted us to be able to bank a certain amount of time. So at this point, we have 8 periods every day. Each class is 47 minutes. And we've got 3 and 4 minute, you know, class exchanges. Of course, we have a high school lunch, a middle school lunch, and we have brought into the equation intervention classes. So if you're struggling in something, we try to address that area that you're struggling in. We try to get people on some software that is called Khan Academy, which we try to get their English scores up and their test scores up and try to find their deficiencies and work on those during that intervention period, so you don't have 8 different classes and 8 different sets of homework or 8 different tests, you know, but you do have 7. But the 8th class is something that we're trying to use to help deficiencies in the testing and the students' abilities. And, you know, we try to make it as flexible as possible. But, yeah, every class at Tigris Valley right now is a 47-minute period. Everybody has 8.
Whoa. I don't know if I would like that when I was there.
Right. Yeah, when you were here, we were doing periods in the middle school, and I think we had you doing 7, and the high school were doing 4 blocks, and we would have to figure out the time to make it all match and make sure the class changes are right and try to keep the middle school kids away from the high school kids. And it is something that takes a while to get figured out, but if you know how to build from the bottom, again, middle school classes and special ed classes or something that has to fit first. High school classes aren't as hard to fit, but then, you know, we have the tech center where we have a lot of kids drive down there in the afternoon, so we have to fit with their schedule as well. So there's always, and a kid who may have failed a class or two, we try to make sure they're in summer school, and now we're trying to put credit recovery in the intervention periods. So if you failed a couple classes, you can take those and get your grade up to where it's a passing grade, and then you can get that credit and move on, which really helps as well.
So for the 8th class, is that with their advisor?
Well, it's usually with their advisor, yes, because they're a lot more comfortable with them. A lot of the work's done online. So, you know, originally you would think, well, if a kid needs help in math, he needs to be with a math person. And we try that occasionally, but Khan Academy allows a kid to go in and work on a skill that he or she is deficient in and go through lessons to improve their understanding of that. So it really doesn't necessarily have to be a math person teaching math. It's your advisor. And you remember we put you with an advisor in the sixth grade. You have the same one till the eighth. And then you get a new advisor in the ninth grade. You have that person till you graduate. So we're trying to keep you in a room with an adult that you trust in case there are issues that someone's having at home or if they're getting bullied at school. We want an adult to be around them as much as possible that they're comfortable with so they can go to and talk to them.
Do you guys still assign the advisors based on last names?
Yes, we do, but we'll look at the group of kids, and we try to divide them up into three groups. And before assigning the teacher to that group, you know, we know kids pretty well by the time they're in the seventh and eighth grade, really by the time they're in the sixth grade, because we talk a lot to the grade school that feeds us. So if, for example, and this is just a, you know, suppose this happens or suppose that happens. If, you know, A through G is a bunch of kids that are pretty rowdy, you know, we'll try to stick somebody with them that is a lot more apt to be strict and to keep them in line and vice versa. You know, if we have a M through Z or R through Z are a bunch of really mostly kids who are laid back, don't get in any trouble, and don't need a whole lot of discipline. We'll put them with a teacher that is maybe a lot, you know, more easy to be around and get along with. So, you know, we don't do any of that like on purpose as much as it's just a percentage that we try to look at, and we don't do it every time. Sometimes there are just, you know, most of the time kids are all really good kids, and there might be one or two that get out of line occasionally, but they're all really good kids. So, you know, we'll look at that a little bit, but yeah, we do put them with people we think would work the best.
Well, that is all the time that we have for the interview today, but thank you so much for coming in and talking with me, Steve Walmsley.
Well, Christy Ann Croson, I appreciate you calling me and asking me to talk to you, and I will be happy to do anything for you that you need.
Thank you. And yes, with ma'am. That, the interview is over. I will now let you guys get back to the music here on WGLZ 91.5 FM.